Throughout the campaign, we'll be touring the country and hearing from you. Cian is in Cork tomorrow, and we'll be hearing from the leaders of the political parties. Holly Cairns of the Social Democrats was with us on Friday. Later this week, we'll hear from Fine Gael Simon Harris, Roderick O'Gorman of the Green Party, Richard Boyd Barrett of People Before Profit Solidarity, and Aintu's Padder Tobin. Today, it's the turn of independents, and instead of a leader, we're joined by three independent candidates. Marion Harkin is an outgoing TD and independent candidate in Sligo Leitrim. She's in our Sligo studio and with us this morning here in studio in Dublin. Kate O'Connell, independent in Dublin Bay South, and Mick Wallace, independent candidate in Wexford and member of Independence for Change. You're both very welcome to studio. And Marion, in Sligo, I'm going to turn to you first. A chronic house shortage, record homelessness, and rents and house prices rising well above inflation. How would you fix housing?
Well, first thing I would do, Gavin, is I would look at where the houses are built. If you look at the house completions for last year, 2023, in the northern and western region, we have about 17% of the population. We had 11% of the housing completions, about two-thirds of what we should have got on a per capita basis. A lot of people think that housing is just an urban issue, but it's every bit as much a rural issue. So that's one of the, if you like, planks of my campaign. Not so much how much money is spent, though that matters because some issues are more important than others. It is where it is spent, and it is not being spent in this region. And sometimes people think it's just about roads and rail, but it's not. It's about housing, it's about health, it's about education. So I want to see policies that will ensure that when it comes to housing, we get our fair share in this region.
Kate O'Connell, how would you fix housing?
Well, despite the supply having increased in recent years, the housing is still unattainable and unaffordable. And I suppose you're looking at a situation where we've had the inflation in prices from the wars in Ukraine and all of that. But and Mick's a builder here. I mean, he'll know the story. The cost to builders of building a house and then getting it onto the market is so high that it's unaffordable for most people earning two salaries or one good salary. So people are priced out of the housing market. The cost of living is eating into the cash they have in their bank accounts. People are unable to save. And this usually comes at the time where people have young families, high child costs, high childcare costs, and everything comes together. So you end up with a decade or two of poverty in your life, even though you're working very hard. So the first thing, to answer your question, that I would address, propose to address, is the actual cost base of houses. To look at the VAT on materials going into the building trade, to look at builders, small builders around the country that are operating with 10 guys and they're bringing in direct labour to do sites, to talk to those people and find out how we can get the price of materials and the VAT return amount down so they can pay their staff. And the other issues, we've a shortage of skills. There has been work done in apprenticeships, but we have a lot of people leaving the country to go abroad who are skilled workers, and we need to incentivise those people to stay so they can live and work and afford to live their lives in this country. There's a cohort of people who just are priced outside living in Ireland.
Mick Wallace, how would you propose to solve Ireland's housing problems?
Well, there's a lot of problems with how we supply housing in Ireland, and there has been for a long time. And since 2011, it's been almost immoral how poorly various governments have dealt with it. There's a couple of big problems in particular. There's the price isn't discussed much, and we have a situation now for the last few years where we have the government literally bribing the private sector to build, and they're driving the price up themselves. Now, there's a couple of aspects that really drive the price up. Material is something, it has gone up, but you're not going to get it back down. But what you can do, you have two huge expenses in a house. The land it's sitting on and the developer. It isn't so much the builder. The builder gets paid and he works on a percentage. He gets somewhere maybe between 4 and 10%, depending on where he's building, right? Max, right? The developer is a different animal. right? And the developer is going to demand, he's going to make sure he gets about 80 grand a unit, right? Now, the land itself, today it's costing 200 a square foot to build a house. The average house in Dublin, the last time that I checked, was 900 square feet. Let's call it 1,000 square feet. That's build cost is 200,000, right? But you won't get a place in Dublin for 400 or 450, right? So where's it all coming from? Well, I mean, and they're talking now about getting the Land Development Agency to be the driving force of housing. This is NAM and Mark II, right? These fellas are actually working with the developers. They're working with investment funds. They are not working directly with the builders. We need to go back to a situation where we get the local authority to organise housing construction in their area. They wouldn't be building it themselves. They'd be hiring builders, right? And if people say the local authorities are not fit for purpose to do this, well, make them fit for purpose, because that's the way forward. We need to build public housing. We have 9% of our housing stock in public housing. There's at least 33%, maybe 40% of the people of this country will never be able to afford to buy a house. So is the government going to build public housing? Okay. Because at the moment, they're using schemes like approved housing bodies of all. They're making billionaires out of them fellas, right? We're doing it all wrong.
Kate O'Connell, on immigration, where would you accommodate people looking for international protection in your constituency?
Well, we have a lot of people in from Ukraine in particular, and we've had obviously the tents along the canal, and there's a lot of people living in City West coming back in towards Dublin 4 and Dublin 6 during the week for their work. For me, I suppose, I think that the concern a lot of people have is to see that pathway from arriving in Ireland from a war-torn country or seeking asylum, where you have that barrier of a language, you have the skills barrier, and it's very, very difficult for people to integrate when all of those things are missing.
They need somewhere to stay, first off. Where would you accommodate them in your constituency?
Well, there any site, I believe, in integrating people, in assimilating them into society, and I believe people from other countries enrich our society. I've had very positive experiences with people from across the world who we've employed through our programmes in our pharmacies, and I'd like to see that rolled out more widespread. I believe that no area should have too many coming in or too little coming in. And by too many, I mean that where you have a small population base, that you would have more people from outside the area than people who are originally living in the area. But I do think Ireland needs workers. We need to provide supports for people. People need to be welcomed and treated with dignity and humanity. I think we need to be tolerant. And I do think we need to look at the positives of people from outside our country coming in and having a positive impact on our society.
Nick Wallace, in Wexford, where could you accommodate people looking for international protection?
At the moment, there isn't accommodation for them. The truth is that the housing crisis is coming back to bite us, no matter where we turn and what we're trying to do. I believe completely that we should accommodate people fleeing wars or repression or whatever, but we literally don't have the facilities for them. Now, when I was in the Dáil last, right, it was a struggle to get the government to agree to bring in more than 1,000 Afghans or 1,000 Syrians a year, right? We brought in 106,000 Ukrainians in just over a year. 106,000, and we'd nowhere to put them. Sure, that was nuts. We created a pull factor. We gave them 230 a week. The Belgians gave them €8. The Germans gave them 60. And we gave them 230. We created
wrong.
A pull factor. Well, we were wrong to actually create a pull factor. We were, yeah. I mean, why weren't the other Europeans doing this, right? Why were we bringing in people when we had nowhere to put them? Tell me that.
I think it's important, though, if people do land in, that they are supported as they seek to settle in a country. It's very complicated for people. I do believe the state needs to heavily support anybody coming in from another country who's contributing to society. But that said, I do think those supports need to be pulled back as people live and become more established.
Marion Harkin in our Sligo studio. Where would you accommodate people looking for international protection in Sligo?
Well, you see, it's a system, Gavin. It's not just where you put them, and I will come to that question. It's the whole system has to work properly. And Mick Wallace is right. We created a pull factor. We had a minister tweeting in how many different languages, telling people they were welcome here, and we had nowhere to put them. What we have done up to now is we have enriched private individuals. We see that situation here in Sligo, where we have lost, for example, student accommodation. We need immediately to build government facilities so that people can be accommodated. Yes, I've seen
people
an example
coming here today
in
and tomorrow and next week. Those places will take time to build. In the short term, where would you accommodate them?
They will, but I've seen an example in Drumshanbo where the hotel there is no longer accommodating Ukrainians, and yet the local community came together and ensured that every single person living in that hotel are now accommodated locally. So it's not as if there isn't goodwill, but what they're, you know, the issue is too many people coming too quickly. So yes, there is an emergency, and the emergency has been partly, actually almost, well, partly caused by government policy. I mean, we have the former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar saying, well, probably we brought in too many too quickly. He was in charge when that was happening. Okay. And now communities are expected to pick up the pieces. So therefore, we need the same sense of urgency about government facilities to, you know, make sure that these people can be housed, and we can't be expecting small communities to take in too many people.
Mick Wallace, are you willing to support or form part of the next government, and with who?
Right now, I would imagine that if I'm elected, that I would be in opposition, trying to hold power to account. I haven't seen an awful lot of opposition even in the Dáil in the last few years. So if I'm elected, I'd be looking forward to being a part of that. And I think that in the last Dáil, when I was here before, on the issue on police corruption, NAMA, the children's hospital, housing.
So there's no point in a government looking for your support, no?
I tell you what, if the numbers were right and Sinn Féin had a chance of being in power, I wouldn't rule it out, but I would obviously, I'd have serious demands.
Marion Harkin, are you willing to support or form part of the next government, and with who?
In a simple answer, yes. And the people will decide who are the largest parties. From my 15 years in the European Parliament, I learned to work on compromise amendments to get legislation through to make a difference. I wouldn't be running for election this time. I could be long retired. I would not be doing it if I didn't believe that there wasn't a chance to influence, you know, government policy for this region to get our
Any
fair
government?
Share and to deal with some of the social issues.
Any government, Marion Harkin?
If that is the case, the people decide who are the largest parties. I look at what's there. There are certain things I won't accept, but there are a number of red line issues for me, and I am willing to talk to whoever the people decide have the majority.
Kate O'Connell, your former party are aiming for a record fourth term in government. Are you willing to support or form part of the next government?
Well, my focus is on trying to get elected in the first place, and then I will be a constructive person, and I have no problem working with my former party or Fianna Fáil in terms of I was a part of that supply and confidence arrangement.
Are you available to support any government?
No, I will not under any circumstances support a government of which Sinn Féin are a part. But I would like to see let people cast their votes. We have a healthy democracy, and not to second guess the outcome of an election. As you all know, elections never end like they start. And I think it's disrespectful to the electorate to assume anything. Fine Gael are coming off the back of 14 years in power, and it is within, I suppose, the power of the ballot box and the power of the people to hold the government to account and to seek proper representation. I truly believe in representative democracy, and that the time to hold a government to account is in the ballot box.
Kate O'Connell and Mick Wallace in our studio here in Dublin, and Marion Harkin in our Sligo studio. Thank you all very much for joining us. A full list of candidates in Dublin Bay South, Wexford, Sligo, Leitrim and all constituencies are available on the RTE website. There are also a series of RTE podcasts available on all constituencies. Know Your Constituency, along with the Behind the Ballot podcast throughout the election, and our weekly politics podcast, Your Politics.